Turn in your Bible again with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. In Matthew, chapter 4, is again in the story of Matthew, this progression of Jesus in the line of David. Jesus, who has been baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus, who has now been tried and tested by Satan and has proved true. Now, in this passage, we come in Matthew chapter 4 to Jesus beginning his earthly ministry. Matthew chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 12 through 17 tonight. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, page 960 in your pew Bibles. Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Lord, we pray, God, that you would bless this time that we spend in your word now. Father, we pray that your spirit would be with us, teaching us how we are to rightfully think about Jesus and how we are supposed to believe upon him who is our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever realized, as you're getting ready for something new to begin, there's an excitement that comes with something new that's about to start, isn't there? Think about just before the school year starts. You know there's the dreaded homework coming as well in the classes, but there's a certain excitement, isn't there? When you know that you're going to see your friends again and you're going to learn new topics and you get to play sports again, there's an excitement that comes with it. When there's, in our own family recently, a new baby about to come, and there's an anticipation, putting back together a crib and putting and getting things back in order, organizing all the baby clothes, and an excitement that comes with it. When there's a new year that's coming, there's something exciting that's coming, right? We think about all the resolutions that we might have for the next year, the things that we want to change in our lives. Well, there's something beginning new here, something that has never happened before. Matthew has started his gospel showing us something that was about to begin. In Matthew chapter 1, he started that off with the long pre-story of all the genealogy. This person begat this person, who was a son of this person, they begat this person, and you get all the way to David. And then you finally get to Jesus. And Israel has been waiting a long time for this beginning. They've been waiting a long time for the promised Messiah to show up. Isaiah prophesied about the one who would be the light shining upon the Gentiles. There's a beginning that's happening here, and there's a tension, right? When you see Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, and he hasn't quite started his ministry. He's gone out to see John the Baptist. And he's not doing the typical Jesus stuff, is he? No, what was John the Baptist even doing? He was proclaiming something that was about to come. A new beginning was coming. Someone was coming, and his ministry was going to be far greater than John's. A new beginning was coming, and Jesus now, in chapter 4, verse 12, begins his earthly ministry. The long-awaited Messiah has been anointed in his baptism. He has been tested by Satan, and now he is ready to begin his ministry. He is ready to be a light unto the nations. And your call tonight, the main point tonight that you must walk away with, is believe in Jesus, the light of the nations. Believe in Jesus, the light of the nations. Our first point tonight is, believe in Jesus, the one witnessed about. Believe in Jesus, the one witnessed about. Look with me at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. Who is John? Who is John that he would have such an impact on Jesus' life this way? Well, we look back at, just turn back one page to John chapter, or to Matthew chapter 3, and we find who John the Baptist was. He was the one who was preaching in the wilderness, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But who was he speaking to? He was speaking to Jews. John's ministry was to Jews. And it was not a ministry that would actually save anyone. John's ministry was pointing to Jesus. And indeed, Jesus, or John said himself, that one was coming who he was not willing to even untie his sandals, or to untie the thongs of his sandals. One was coming who is greater than John. See, John has a ministry that is witnessing to this beginning, witnessing to this event that would literally change history. John's ministry is one that is a herald coming and proclaiming something that is about to begin. This is before the Olympics happens. There's something that happens way before the Olympics ever starts. Way before anybody actually ever starts to run a race. Way before anybody ever actually jumps in a pool. There's a torch that's lit. And it's ran around the globe. Until finally that torch is placed in the Olympic theater where the games were to begin, where the event was finally to happen. John was that light going before Jesus, saying something was about to begin. And Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples later, even says this about John, doesn't he? He says that John, if they could believe it, is Elijah. He was the one preparing the way for Jesus to come. Jesus was being witnessed to before he even came. It is this same John that when Mary came to his mother, he leapt in his mother's womb. John was witnessing to Jesus his entire life. His ministry was meant to witness about Jesus coming. And in verse 12, in the beginning of our text, what happens? John's arrested. John is taken into custody. John, that one who bore witness to Jesus, this righteous man of God, the prophet of God, is arrested, put into jail. Chapter 14 tells us why he's taken to jail. And it's interesting in Luke's gospel and in Mark's gospel, they tell us right at the beginning why he's taken to jail. But Matthew puts it later in chapter 14. It's because he's told Herod that he shouldn't have his brother's sister. He shouldn't have his brother Philip's sister. This righteous thing that John says, and he's put into jail for it. And Jesus is deeply moved by it. Jesus withdraws. He goes from, he leaves Nazareth, his hometown, this hamlet up in the north, and he goes to Capernaum. Now, a little bit of geography helps, and Capernaum is a really important city in the New Testament during the life of Jesus. Capernaum almost becomes, so Jesus has three places in his life, really. You have Bethlehem, where he's born, Nazareth, where he's raised, and Capernaum, where he is basically his home base for his ministry. And Jesus moving from Nazareth to Capernaum is a physical movement, for he is about to begin his ministry in a new place. In a place that was witnessed to 400 years before Jesus would ever get there. Jesus goes up to the Sea of Galilee, and at the Sea of Galilee, it's not really a sea, it's a lake, right? It's 8 miles across, smaller than Lake Superior, smaller than Lake Erie. It's a lake. But on the lake, you have the upper Jordan River that comes in through the north, and then the lower Jordan River, which drains down into the Dead Sea. Capernaum is at the northeast or northwest corner of that lake. And that's where Jesus sets up his home base. And it's from there that Jesus will begin his ministry to be a light to the Gentiles. So your first point was that you need to believe Jesus, the one witnessed about. He was witnessed about in Isaiah, and he was witnessed about by John the Baptist. The second point is you also need to believe in the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. See, when we read this in verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. See, Jesus is the light of the Gentiles. Jesus goes up to Capernaum to fulfill what Isaiah said about him. But when we read through Matthew, when you open your Bible and you read through Matthew, I would encourage you, if you have a study Bible, look at the notes and find out, where is this coming from in the Old Testament? Because how God has used the book of Matthew and how we're to read this book is, when you see it and there's a verse like this, Matthew isn't just proof texting. When Matthew uses the Old Testament, when the scriptures in the book of Matthew give you an Old Testament quote, it's calling you back to the fullness of the passage surrounding that quote. Which is why we started our worship with reading Isaiah chapter 9. And what was said in Isaiah chapter 9? It was far more than him just being a light to the Gentiles. Indeed, it's one of the great prophecies of Jesus Christ, isn't it? For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, and then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. See, Jesus is a light to the nations, yes. He is a light to the land dwelling in darkness. But He is much more than just a light. He is a hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that the government will rest upon his shoulders. The gospel, see, is not just that Jesus will save you from your sins. That is a part of the gospel. But you are to believe the whole gospel, Christian. I mean, that's like eating a cookie of an Oreo without getting to the cream. Yeah, Jesus saving us from our sins is good, right? Praise the Lord. Psalm 32 is true. But there's a whole bunch of good gospel truth between that Isaiah shows us here. That Jesus is the one who the entire government of God's holy kingdom will rest on his shoulders. See, one of the major themes of the book of Matthew is, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And who's the king of that kingdom? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the king of the kingdom of heaven. And Isaiah's telling us in verses 6 through 7 is that he will be the king who rules with justice and with righteousness. There's a court case going on right now, isn't there? Olivia and I are having to pay careful attention to this court case. Will our Supreme Court uphold justice and righteousness? Will a Christian baker be sued for money, which is far more than he could ever imagine, and his business pulled out from underneath his feet? Will injustice be done to this man because he wouldn't bake a cake for a gay couple? We care deeply about justice and righteousness, don't we? We care deeply about how the orphans and how the widows are treated. And Jesus is the one. He is a light to the nations, not just because he will save his people from their sins, yes, but he will have a government upon his shoulders, which is in perfect righteousness. When you cry out to God for justice, Christ hears you. See, Jesus being a light to the Gentiles is a great promise because he is not a powerless Savior, but he is a Savior who is everlasting and with a dominion, with a throne, with a kingdom which will live forever. And he is your king. So don't settle for a cheap gospel, but cling to the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't settle for anything less. Go back to Isaiah. But there's a hard point in Isaiah chapter 9, isn't there? Isaiah chapter 9 was nice for the first 7 verses. But what about that whole cannibalism part? What about the hard part of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When Jesus began his earthly ministry, verse 17, what does Jesus say? How does Jesus start his earthly ministry? From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, our third point tonight is believe in Jesus, who will save you and will also turn your world upside down. Believe in Jesus, who will save you but will also turn your world upside down. Isaiah chapter 9 is about Jesus being the light of the nations, but he's also a judgment to Jacob, is he not? The judgments, the terrible, I don't know how to say this other than the word, the disgusting words of Isaiah 9, it should bother you when you hear about someone eating from their hand and still hungering, and then eating others and still starving, that's not meant as a pretty picture. And I'm convinced that Isaiah 9 is talking about what was going to happen when Jerusalem was going to fall, when the Romans were going to come in and besiege the land. See, Matthew's gospel is one written to Jews. See, each gospel writer has a reason why they're writing, an audience they're writing to in the early church. And Matthew, the church fathers tell us that Matthew is writing to the Jews. It's the only book in the New Testament that was originally written in Hebrew. The church fathers tell us, Eusebius and others tell us, that the book of Matthew was written in Hebrew first, and then he translated it into Greek. And when Matthew is telling the people here in the early church, and they're remembering Isaiah chapter 9, they're remembering, yes, Jesus is a light unto the nations, but it's also a witness against their own people. See, Matthew has multiple themes that we find all throughout. The biggest one is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus being that king of the kingdom of heaven, this is why he starts with his genealogy and he shows that he is the son of David. He is the one who is going to sit on the throne of David and rule in this kingdom. But another interesting theme in the book of Matthew is that Jesus' gospel is not just for the Jews. Jesus' gospel is for the nations. And for a Jew of the time to read this, that by verse 15, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles? Hold on, the Messiah is supposed to be the king of the Jews. He's supposed to be the one who's going to come in. And in the Jewish mind, you need to think of someone who comes in like David. What was David like? David killed his enemies. David struck down those who opposed him. He was supposed to be that type of king who would overthrow the Romans. He wasn't supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. This is turning their world upside down. This is not the Messiah, not the anointed one, not the king that they were expecting. And what would they be expecting? What would the Pharisees and the scribes be expecting? That Jesus would come to them and would say, "All right, you're my fighting men. You're the righteous ones. Let's go get this done." That's what they wanted their Messiah to say. But that's not the Messiah they needed. The king they needed would be one who would come with righteousness and with justice, and who would bear it upon his own shoulders. See, again, when we come to the idea of salvation, how do you think that you are made right with God? How do you think you're made right with God? One of the hard questions when I'll go out and I'll do evangelism is I'll ask that question to people, especially when I ask it to people of certain faith traditions that aren't Bible-believing traditions. You'll ask them, How are you made right with God? How are you going to stand before the judgment seat of God and be led into his kingdom? And what will they normally tell you? I've been a pretty good person. I've been a pretty good person. I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't committed adultery. I don't steal. But what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to self-righteous Jews who think that they're holy? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the same message that John the Baptist gave at the Jordan, isn't it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How often do you do this? Are you listening to the words of Jesus? Have you heard this too often? This isn't a suggestion that Jesus is giving you here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our natural attitude is that we are righteous. But that's not what God tells us, is it? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are unrighteous by our own deeds. We must be those who repent and cling to the King who will uphold us in His righteousness. See, the world will tell you to just be good. But that's not how Jesus comes as a light to the nations, is it? Jesus flips everything around. Jesus says, I'm the King. I'll go through the trials. I'll go through the testing. I'll uphold the law. And I'll face the punishment. And I'll give you my righteousness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is repenting of your own self-righteousness. And trusting in the one who has come as a light unto the nations. It's interesting again that Matthew 28, when we read the Great Commission, go forth therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and discipling them, isn't it? Disciple the nations. Jesus is the light, not just of the Jews, but He is your light. And this, again, is this falling on your deaf ears? Ask yourself, are you tired of hearing this message? Have you become numb to the gospel of Jesus Christ? That the only reason you are saved is because Jesus has turned the world upside down. That Jesus has taken the normal way the world operates and said, I will be the sacrifice. I will be your Savior. I will be your covering with my own blood. I will forgive your sins and I will be your King. I will love you. And I will rule in my kingdom with justice and with mercy. Is that your hope? Or have you become numb to the gospel? Have you just been satisfied with the cookie and haven't been eating your cream? Are you excited about the kingdom that has come? Are you excited for His kingdom that will come? That someday Jesus will come down in the clouds in glory. And He, your King, is going to inaugurate. He is going to usher in His kingdom. And at the day of resurrection, you are going to stand with Jesus Christ. And He is going to be your King, your Savior, your light. Don't be satisfied with a cheap gospel. But be satisfied with everything that the Word of God tells you your Savior is. Believe in Jesus, your light, the light of the nations. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, give us a more full vision of your kingdom. Father, let us love you more. Forgive us for how often we are cold in our heart. How often, Lord, we don't think about you. Lord, how often we fail to read your word closely and to see the great promises you have given us. Lord, we thank you that you are the King who is seated at the right hand of your Father. Lord, and that you hear us and that you rule your church righteously. Father, let us be those who are about your kingdom work. Let us be those who would be discipling the nations. Let us be those who would be sharing your gospel with others, calling them to repent and believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for how often we have been lazy servants. How often we have not trusted in you and been busy and diligent in the work that you've given us to do. Lord, let us leave from here tonight hopeful in you, but also stirred up that we would do your work. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.